you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salmon.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. My name is Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man. Nice. Thank you all for coming out tonight. We are very excited.
Yeah.
Because when we got here, couches. I feel better than after Carrie has gotten a new pair of Manola Blahniks.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What?
What are you speaking about? What is this thing you're talking
Nothing.
About?
Nothing. I'm just talking about...
Alex went and saw Sex and the City on Friday night. When the day it opened, he saw it. He did. Admit it.
No, I went Friday afternoon.
Oh!
Did you have Cosmos
first?
They're
all sold out.
Did
they're
you go shoe shopping, have Cosmos, and then go?
Not that order, but yeah.
Which wow. one are you? Which one are you? You're a Miranda. Miranda, am I right?
Shut
He's
up.
A Miranda.
Nah, I'm a Samantha.
Oh!
Anyway, we're all going to be taking online quizzes.
I don't even know. I don't even know which one that is. did you have fun? Did you like it?
It was a movie. It was a movie.
Oh, okay.
That was great. It was the best movie of all time. All right, oh. Sorry, we'll get into the show, you guys, because we have a huge, huge show for you.
Yeah, we do.
I'm very excited about the guests we have here tonight.
Cool, yeah.
Which is different than every
great.
Other week.
Yeah, exactly.
I am very disappointed in the guests. So let's welcome them all out. Ladies and gentlemen, Liz Bailey, Brian Heater, and Dave Robbins! Yeah.
Throw those anywhere.
They're throw pillows.
Nice.
Huh?
This booth
man likes
it. Something
I learned in that movie I saw this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
It shall not be named ever again.
I hope not. Thank you guys so much for coming out. How are the couches?
They're nice. I've got that same table at home.
Oh!
Me too.
We took it from your apartment.
Yeah.
So we all have you guys on as sort of a Mocha Fest preview. Mocha Fest, of course, is happening this weekend, the 7th and the 8th at the Museum of Cartoon and Comic and Cartoon Art, excuse me. Now, I was looking over the schedule a little bit, and there doesn't seem to be any panel about Final Crisis.
Yeah, what's up with
there's
that?
There's no panel about Secret Invasion.
What are those things?
So,
Sure we are.
So tell me a little bit about, I guess, I mean, you guys aren't necessarily here to sell. That's coming soon. Yeah. Tell us what you guys do at Mocha. I mean, what's exciting about it? What are you looking forward to? Brian, I mean, I know you're a big proponent of it.
Yeah, it's like Comic-Con, but without the stormtroopers.
Oh, man, that's nice.
Oh,
no, come on.
There's sadly no people. Was there anybody in costume last year?
What if the Jedi just set up a table at Mocha Fest? Would that
the New York
would that rattle some?
They probably wouldn't have any problem getting in.
Yeah.
Well, what's to look forward to? What's
it's two floors at the beautiful historic Puck Building on Houston Street. A lot of mini comics. Well, it's sort of a pretty big range between the canned photocopied mini comics and then the bigger like Pantheon, Dan Klaus, Fantagraphics books. So it's the entire spectrum of independent comic tree. But
nice.
Yeah, that's good. And sort of to use that as a little segue into mini comics. Liz, before the show, we were talking about you just finished your latest one, right?
Yes.
And you have
Completely coincidentally have all the pages with me. And really, I'm not even
that's
kidding.
Amazing.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit. What's your comic about?
Well, it's called My Brain Hurts, and it's about teenage punk rock kids in New York.
Woo!
Nice. That's one of the meeker ones out there.
Hello, me! Hooray! Yeah, but I just finished issue number 9. There's going to be 10 issues total, so it's like almost done. So it's very exciting.
So does your brain hurt?
No one's ever asked me that before.
Oh, she's making fun of
me! I couldn't help it.
Is that true that nobody's asked you that?
Yeah. Are you not fluent in the language of sarcasm?
Yeah. We're going to Sarcasm Fest this weekend instead of Mocha.
Really?
There are only Star Trek.
Yeah. That's ironic.
So, do you mind showing us some of your art?
What's funny is the actual comic is like 8.5 by 11 paper folded in half, and the original pages are like the size of your face.
Wow, that's a big face.
Your face is really big, by the way.
The size of Pete's face.
Really big things with people.
Nice.
So, for those of us who haven't put together mini comics, how does it work? I mean,
dude, it's totally boring.
Awesome. Tell us about the staples. It's a long running.
I actually have purple staples. And
purple.
My husband got. Nice. They're pretty neat.
Awesome. What's different besides their color?
Well, tell us a little bit about
they're
the metal.
Actually laced with acid. So.
Go see.
That's awesome.
Expensive.
This is really special. Really special comic book experience for the reader. It really takes you into the.
Yeah. I like a lot of staples, and I'm glad that finally there's some drugs on some.
Yeah, now staples are finally exciting.
What would you say in, this is going to come out sounding like an old man, but in nowadays with these webcomics the kids are using, what's the use of a mini comic, especially when you're...
No use at all. It's completely defunct and useless, and nobody cares at all.
Purple staples.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Keep the staple companies in business. Keep the staple companies in business. Keep the photocopy shops in business.
We hate trees.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's something that is good to have at your table. I mean, do you have a table?
Yeah. I have a table. It's actually covered. It's very easy to find in case any of you go to Mocha. It's covered in a pink, fuzzy, like zebra-striped tablecloth.
Wow.
So it's really easy to see from far distances. But yeah, so I sell all my mini comics there. I sell T-shirts. I'm probably going to be selling original art as well.
Cool.
Nice.
I'm going to try this again in a way that maybe isn't going to offend you. How did you get the title for My Brain Hurts?
It's nice that you didn't use. I'm glad actually that you didn't use a stupid pun. Because everybody said, because people always do that. Someone always thinks of the first person they come to the table like, "Does your brain hurt?" Oh.
But that was you. That was the first thing. Oh man!
Get out of my head!
She nailed it.
Get out of my head!
Now his brain hurts. Am I right?
No.
I shouldn't. I'll do it later in the show.
Actually, I got the name from an album. A band called Screeching Weasel has an album called My Brain Hurts and a song called My Brain Hurts. And since I'm totally uncreative when it comes to naming things, I just literally I was flipping through my records because I had to think of a name, and I was just like, "That's good."
Screeching Weasel sounds like a good inspiration.
Yeah. Yeah.
I called my first comic Spice World.
Do you have any copies left? I totally
bought it.
We'll be at Mocha. Or were you lying just now? Were you lying?
No, he has a lot of Spice Girl based comics. Spice is how many he did.
You might be saying it's scary.
Boo!
Come on. Current. It's current.
Yeah, that's really cutting edge. All right.
Well, Dave, let's move over and talk to you for a little bit. Sorry. You look almost upset that I'm talking.
I was just getting comfortable.
Well, you're working on a project right now that's a little more mainstream, I guess.
And yet not at all.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us about it? We were talking about it before the show.
I'm co-writing X-Men that...
What?
We're...
Wait for it! Hold on!
But not the X-Men you know.
Let's see.
Literally. Basically, Del Rey Manga, which is a big manga publishing company, part of Random House, they teamed up with Marvel to do manga-inspired versions of their franchises, and my wife and I were writing X-Men as a manga series, and it's a two graphic novel book deal that focuses on Kitty Pryde as the main character going to X-Men Academy, but it's an all-boys school, and she's the only girl there, and haijus ensue.
Oh, nice.
Well, why manga? What specifically makes this?
Tentacles.
Jeez.
Do you mean besides making lots of money?
Yeah. No. <Nope. laughs> I was going to make a pun, but I bugged her passe.
And do you have some art from it?
I actually, yeah, I do. I have a couple printouts of character designs that I can show.
No.
Only the ones that have already been on the internet.
Yeah, these were quite popular on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you'll really be able to see them from here, but basically
Zombies.
Everybody is really, really, really sexy, including Professor X.
Is he standing up?
Yeah. Sean Beast.
Sean Beast.
No, you'll see. Wait.
I've seen it.
Really good.
This will look great on the podcast.
Oh, he's so cute.
Aww.
So dark.
How much input did you guys have in terms of the designs, or was it
a lot? Yeah. In fact, we wrote full descriptions of all the characters, what they look like. In some cases, we gave examples of the type of people we imagine them as, or in certain cases, pre-existing characters they are similar to or inspired by.
Now, like, how cool was Marvel? Like, were they like, yeah, do what you. Or were they like, you have to have this, or...
They were extremely cool. And in fact, the first stumbling block was that we remained a little too faithful to the pre-existing material, and they wanted us to push it further.
Cool.
The first pitch that we did got rejected because they felt it was, you know, it was X-Men as they knew it, and they wanted to see it, you know, push further in a different direction.
No, that's really cool.
So once we did that, everything was moved forward, but... Yeah.
Is there an example you can talk about that was something that was pushed a little forward?
A lot of it's just the relationships and how they sort of pre-exist to each other. I mean, there was a lot between Professor X and Magneto that pretty much followed the mythology that we kind of already know. So it was just really revamping that and focusing more on the angle is that, I mean, it's really, manga is primarily popular with teenagers and the types of manga that they're pushing, which is shoujo manga, it's for teenage girls. So the focus is really on the characters and really on stories that would be appealing to a teenage girl, I guess.
You're writing that.
Rocky.
Wow, that's a dissent in there. We can write
for teenage girls. There's nothing wrong with that.
What they like buying.
All right, that's what you said. We're already
what?
You know,
don't do it.
I have a list.
Don't. That's backstage.
Yeah, I've seen you with a list.
Probably got a slide, too.
Yeah.
I have a couple of mini comics. We'll check it out. All right, it is time for our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Woo!
What?
Hi, Brian.
Hey.
What do you do?
I just can't leave since the last show.
What?
Been living backstage.
Well, that's...
See? Everyone knows that. We've all seen you hobbling around here looking for food.
What do you think about Final Crisis, Brian?
I out of solidarity, I'm not reading it.
Okay,
Pete.
So, for those of you who don't know, Pete and I have bet for $1 million that Pete will read Final Crisis.
And I say no because I was burnt out by the countdown, the count up, and the semi-crisis, and the medieval crisis, and
now
the
you sound like
maybe
you
crisis.
The oil crisis.
Yeah. So I out of protest, I said I'm not going to pick it up, and Alex was like, quick to point out, that's ridiculous because we do a comic club show. And
have you seen it? You guys should really check it out.
Yeah. It's Tuesdays. I don't know if you're available, but...
they're busy. They have something out today.
Oh.
The thing is, it's going to be hard for you to win this, because all he has to do is not read it, which he's doing very well.
No. But it's very hard for him to not read things.
Yeah, yeah. Especially as...
That's almost the opposite of true.
Hey, wait a second. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're making fun of me.
I was talking to Alex. How could I make fun of you?
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. No, but it is hard for me as a collector of comics, and this is kind of a big deal, especially since Grant Morrison is writing, not to.
Did you buy it?
No, I couldn't.
That'd be $1 million.
Which is how much he thinks his actual comic book collection will eventually be worth.
That's right.
So you're crazy
twice. That being said, what'd you think of it, Justin?
I... think it's kind of a mixed bag. It's carrying on a lot of the problems.
Wait, let me try to explain it. I think what's happening here in this issue is it's really all over the place. You don't know what's going on, and you know, you're not sure where the story is yet. It's a lot of different characters.
Now you're just being a dick. it's carrying on a lot of the problems up from Countdown. And so I think that, you know, everyone's like, Grant will pull it out, and I just hope he does. It's like actually Pete's saying, it's very confusing out of the gate. All over the place. And
I can't believe you just used that phrase. Like Pete's saying.
He didn't say those words.
Yeah, right.
They're out there. especially the New God stuff, because we just saw all the New Gods die, and then again we get to see another New God die. It's like, if I hadn't read all the other stuff, this would be cool, but instead it's kind of tainted.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
Well, I mean, Pete brings up some interesting points.
He's driving me nuts! Here's the thing, he didn't read it, he's still reviewing it better than he reviews those things he does read.
I know! Oh, it's driving me crazy.
I think we found a secret. You should never read comics.
Oh, no, that would be horrible.
Think about it. You have paint under your ear, by the way.
It's fine. It's fine. Writing's fine, art is fine. I actually feel like J.G. Nolan's art is kind of stiff, personally.
Oh.
I like it. I mean, it looks good as painted compositions, but it's stiff.
It's crunched in together. Yeah. I feel like there's not a lot of space for the pictures to breathe.
It's really very 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole thing with these. For those of you who haven't read it, actually, I don't even know how you can sum it up. A lot of stuff happens, like Pete's name.
It's like a disease. Turning across the state.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, I mean, if you're interested in big events, you should pick it up. Otherwise, I don't look.
If you're interested in butt shots,
this bit, totally many butt shots. 1 to 10, what do you give it?
1 to 10, like, oh, you like 10. The butt?
She's
been hypnotized by
this. No, I mean, there's a lot happening on this page. But her eyes are...
There's a moon. There's a moon right by her butt.
There's at least 6 or 7 green lanterns.
Very artistic.
And it's sad that I'm like, hey, they ripped off the Super Friends with their place where they hang out.
Yeah.
The guy in the picture is looking at the butt. Whoever this guy is.
It's a natural move.
Yeah, they're robots.
They don't care.
I guess pick it up if you like... No,
if you like
butts or boots. Okay, let's move on. Talk about Helen Killer, number 2. Pete keeps picking this up.
Yeah. I do, because I'm like, this is crazy. How crazy can it keep getting? And it gets crazy.
If you don't know the plot, it's if Helen Keller, who is blind and deaf, were given a pair of magic glasses.
By Alexander Graham Bell.
Would she become an agent to kill other people? But yes. The problem is the glasses also make her angry and slightly evil.
Yeah.
Right. And they allow her to see the evil and good in men's souls.
Yeah.
In the part of this is someone...
Didn't we mention that the magic glasses let her see and hear?
Yeah.
Oh, that
the plot of this is someone's trying to kill the president. And she lets it happen because she's so angry, and then she stabs someone in the face with her blind person stick. And then
I don't think that's what it's called.
Yes, it is. Right?
She's blind. She'll never hear him anyway.
Well, unless she's wearing her magic glasses.
Do the glasses enable her to hear?
Yes.
Yeah.
And like jump
that?
And fly.
You're
sure.
A magic glasses.
Oh, okay.
You can accept every part
did
of the premise except for the fact that the glasses.
Listen, Alexander Graham Bell invented a lot of awesome things.
Yeah. What you don't understand is that the author, there's a whole sequence in Helen Keller's life where we don't know what happened. And in real life.
In the back of the book, he lists all these like semi-creepy events where, like, Helen Keller was known as, what's the name they call her? Like,
the Phantom.
Yeah. Which is supposedly real. She was like,
I just, it's disturbing that they've taken her and done this with her. And then when I was like, okay, at least it's tasteful, she's wearing dresses. And then the preview for the next one is the panty shot. I'm like, why? Why do I want to see
that's
just,
that's true, though.
That's true. She's much hotter in real life.
Yeah.
Totally.
We've all seen the old photos.
It's a messed up kind.
And she didn't know it, but she made it even better.
I'm sorry.
She couldn't hear people telling her that her panties were showing. So, no, she
that's
didn't know.
That's the real crime here.
They were like, yeah, I don't know where it's showing. And she was like...
would you say pick this up?
No, especially not if your last name's Keller and you're related to this person. It'll be, imagine sitting around the Keller family picking up this book.
What if
reading
your last name is Keller?
Keller.
Yeah. Oh, then you probably like this. Whose last name is Killer?
I feel like Anne Frank's family's getting up too easy.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know.
No, there used to be a book called Anne Frankenstein.
Wow, that's awesome. That's horrible. That's the worst almost thing you could do.
Yeah, she got her power from this attic.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to stop talking about this and move on and talk about Giant Size Astonishing X-Men number one. Bringing to a close John Cassidy and Joss Whedon's run. Did I just say Joss Cassidy?
No, you did.
Yeah, sweet. What'd you guys think about this? This is long awaited to bring everything to a satisfying close.
Very good. In fact, I think it was great.
Okay, we thought about this on the website, but I thought it was ridiculous. The
AOL.com.
Yeah. I thought it was really ridiculous, the drool sequence that they put in this thing.
There's, for those of you who haven't been reading it, I don't know, since the end of it, this is going to ruin basically everything, but there is this giant bullet headed towards Earth, sent by an alien race who thinks that the X-Men are going to destroy them. Kitty Pryde is trapped in the bullet, and the bullet...
Tell that to get to the drool, don't you?
Yeah. And the bullet is impervious to magic and pummeling and pretty much anything. So one of the side effects of it is all of the superheroes of Earth gather to try to stop this bullet, and instead there is a psychic attack where they're all just standing there drooling when they each are imagining themselves saving Earth from the bullet. So they keep cutting back to these panels where it's just everybody standing there vacantly staring into space.
Scary. I thought it was scary.
Yeah, it's actually really creepy and well done.
Yeah, it's very creepy, and it's just like, I was like, what the? Why are we watching them drool? It doesn't make sense for six panels.
They caught the ship from Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah. What's cool about it is it leads Kitty Pryde, she's trapped in this bullet, to spoil it for you, and she's shooting across the galaxy, and they're like, shit, she's gone. So they didn't have to kill her, but now she's gone. And I thought it was a very smart way to have something bad happen to a character.
I agree, because it is
really smart. Putting her on a bullet flying through the galaxy. Genius!
She's not on it, she's in it.
Okay.
And she can't leave because the bullet makes her sad.
Yes. Smart. Exactly, and she has to stop the bullet from hitting another planet.
So don't pick up this comic.
Oh, what? No, okay. This had some of my favorite X-Men moments of all time, I would say.
What?
Was great. Yes.
What was, besides the drooling, what was your...
Well, I love drooling. I think it's very funny.
not true.
The way they come up with solving the problem. They can't figure out how to stop this bullet. They can't figure out what to do. It makes total obvious sense that you have Kitty Pryde, who phases things trapped inside of this bullet. So she is able to, using her last remaining strength, phase it through the Earth.
Awesome.
And it's just
really
a
well
very
developed.
Obvious, very simple solution that I thought you didn't think of the entire time while you're reading it. So I consider that smart and well done.
It's one of the few books out there that's really original, and it's the problems, the hard problems they create, and they solve them in a smart way.
This is Mr. Fantastic, who is taking a moment to enjoy it, and then it just slowly starts to drool. And then the wide shot of the entire team drooling.
I think we really have to hash this out. Let's spend another 30 minutes on this issue. Let's move on and talk about Angry Youth Comics number 14. What'd you guys think about this issue?
Really smart. Really smart. Oh, man.
Have you guys read previous Angry Youth comics?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
What do you think of it? You like them?
Awesome. You can't go wrong with, like, dick and fart jokes and, like, people crapping in the street and someone else slips on it and falls down and then everyone laughs at them but he's actually dead. And
it's honestly, like, the lowest of the low brows ever, but I never laugh out loud, but I consistently do with Johnny Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm not a big fan of scatological humor at all, and
what?
I feel like...
Are you human?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
Sometimes, yeah, I don't.
I threw a bucket of shit on him, and he didn't even crack a smile. I'm
not gonna lie. Later, I was like, that was pretty funny. I'm not a big fan of scatological humor, especially in comics, because I feel like often it's poorly done. I don't think it's well done at all. I think it's done for the sake of, we're pushing taboos, crap. But I feel like with this particular issue, it took it so far beyond to the point where it actually becomes funny and actually becomes interesting.
What are you laughing at the...
I think she just pulled out this guy's intestine. She reached into it. She flipped his legs over his head, this nurse. She reached her hand into his butt, pulled out his... I think it's an intestine or a poop.
That's poop.
It's a poop. Okay, but it's like a rope of poop. And then she flings it on the ceiling and swings on it. And says, look at me, I'm Spider-Man woman.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's just... It's taking everything to its illogical conclusion and then one step beyond that, which I appreciate. You guys didn't like it at all. I'm dissatisfied by the...
It was funny. I mean, you guys. You know. Pete definitely didn't like it.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you know, I liked, you know, obviously, I think, hey, you know what, if you want to draw a silly comic and, yeah, that, but I just was like, I mean, it was just, I mean, when he is a robot.
At no point did anybody drool in this comic.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But nor did Mephisto show up and give anyone a deal.
But somebody did get fisted.
Mephisted.
Yeah. when the guy makes it back from the hospital and is raping his wife and almost cutting her ankles
at the same time.
Well,
when you say it like that, without the picture.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it's silly.
don't buy the book on tape version. Yeah.
And by the way, if you like Johnny Ryan stuff, he is in almost every issue of Nickelodeon magazine, which I work for.
Same stories. These stories.
Yeah.
The kids love him. The kids love
there's a lot of continuity overlap.
Yeah,
I have a lot of problem with the continuity in this, so maybe if I pick up.
Alright, we're going to move on to talk about Angel Revelations number one, following the X-Men Angel in his own miniseries. This book completely surprised me.
Well, it's a Marvel Knights book,
right?
Is one thing, so it's kind of out of the continuity, and they can tell more, progressive stories. They can go a little further creatively with these.
Yeah, I was completely surprised by this book, in particular about the art, which I really, really liked a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone's really thin and tall, and the panel layouts are really cool.
That's the way things should be.
Yeah, right? Whoa!
Gain weight is what he's saying. You gain weight.
Me?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. There's a couple of panels in there of... It's very expressionistic. It's very much almost like the spot drawings of Lemony Snicket a little bit. It kind of reminds me of, all right, come on. Oh, I'm sorry, I read books for kids.
Yeah, you really just burned yourself.
Nice, you burned yourself.
We have nothing to say. And you burned yourself.
I really like the description of Angel. It's before he has his wings. He's in high school, prep school.
He's really good at the high jump.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Because
he can fly.
Well, but he can't. He doesn't have wings yet.
Yeah, but he still has his power.
He
set a world record. How do you explain that?
I think because his bones are emptying out because birds don't have their half hollow bones.
Yeah, but he's not a bird.
Yeah, but he's becoming an angel. He's growing.
Yeah, he hasn't started.
I just want to say, we've been doing the show for a year and a half, and this is the stupidest conversation.
That's definitely not true.
I would definitely say Alex originally said the art alone is worth picking this comic up, which I agree with.
Absolutely.
I didn't think the story was that amazing, but I definitely think the art was fantastic.
But there's this page where he has this scarf just sort of flowing off to him.
Okay, nice.
Wow. Cool. Let's move on. Talk about Fire Breather number one, which is a continuation of the much beloved series, which you can pick up in a graphic novel form if you like. Basically, the idea is there's this kid who is the son of a human woman and a giant monstrous dragon.
How did that happen?
Yeah, right? Mistake, right?
I was gonna say, oh, it looks like Mike Mignola looks like Hellboy, but after that description, it's absolutely nothing like Hellboy.
It actually is very much its own thing because it deals with the family dynamic. The mother and the dragon are divorced.
Yeah. Tough breakup. We're from different worlds!
But it is a really solid first issue. It's drawn really well. The writing is a lot of fun. It's kind of funny because it's like, you know, he's dealing with family problems, but his dad is an evil dragon.
Yeah.
And he's playing these crazy tricks on his son. He's like, I almost killed you. He's like, Dad, why?
It's tough. That was like my home life. What happens in here and that is best done is he's like, it's about like the family dynamic where he's like, oh, I have to go spend the weekend with my dad. Then he flies to a cave and his dad... It's like, oh, you fooled my robot fooled you, son. And then he's like, stop it. You should be nicer. And they treat everything very realistically, where there's a government fence around it.
It's
cave.
Very realistic. There's a government. You have roads. Everybody
like
eats three times a day.
No, but I would definitely recommend picking it up. It's a really good comic.
Yeah, excellent. And also go back and get the trade collection because it'll really help getting into this issue. Let's move on to talk about Batman 667. Doing the RIP storyline.
It's solid. I mean, a lot happens in this second one. It's really amping up the tension. After the first one, kind of like classic Morrison, it's all over the place, which is how I used my review for the...
You're really showing us the ropes there.
So, that's why I'm really nervous about later when things start getting good. I'm going to be missing out. But yeah, this is really starting to set up what he's going for, and the fact that he might die.
Mm. Yeah. You got anybody out there reading this?
Yeah. Your voice kind of cracked when you said that. There was a little sadness.
I'm a big fan of Batman, so I hope he doesn't.
Aww. It's really hard, though.
That's so cute.
Okay. Very pure moment.
Do you guys have any interest in this whatsoever? Is this?
This has a great Batman story.
It has nothing to do with this comic, but I had a Batman wedding.
Did you?
Cool. What?
I got married. My husband, who's here, was the Joker, and I was Harley Quinn.
Oh,
nice.
And we got married by Alfred.
Oh, yeah!
And our wedding party was, we had Two-Face and Riddler, and we did have Batman also. He came. He was shorter than Robin. We had... Robin was, 6 feet tall, and Batman was, he's, 5 foot... Nothing.
Wow.
It was really little. It was
That's
funny.
Hilarious. I bet that angered him.
Was he the ring bearer?
No. He was just there standing on a rock, watching.
Was he a friend, or was it just like wandering by?
Well, actually, what's funny is he was so into the part that he got all the equipment so he could actually fight crime, so he had an actual armor, chest thing and actual gauntlet things, and he had I think he had smoke bombs or something.
Great job.
He took it for real. Yeah. For real. He had a garbage bag cape because you can dispose of that if you know.
Wait a second. You're he went all the way, but gauntlets, smoke bombs, garbage bag cape. Classic Batman stuff.
He's if Batman was real. He's he's the real Batman.
What inspired you to have a Batman?
Nerds.
Did you carry that onto the reception?
I mean, it was Halloween also, so my mom was okay, I can handle it. It's on Halloween.
Cool. Yeah, well, your mom was I don't know about this. Not how I pictured my daughter. Yeah.
It's basically the same thing. I'm going to have a Kyle XY wedding. Nobody's going to have belly buttons.
Right.
I'm going to have the belly button covers at the door. It's going to be at the table, the prize, the takeaway thing.
Yeah.
That you get at the table. It's going to have your date emblazoned on the belly button cover.
Yeah, the invitations say bring the whole ABC family.
Oh, gosh. Actually, I like that.
And pick up Batman RIP or something. I don't know.
What's going to happen?
It's good. It's really good.
Who knows? All right, let's move on. Talk about 1985. Let's see if I'm going to do this the right way. Pete picked up two copies so he could connect the covers.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting when they do that because...
You don't have to buy both. Really?
I do.
You have a sickness.
I do.
What do you think about this issue? This is obviously... For those of you who don't know the deal with this book, this is very much long time coming. Mark Miller...
Since 1985?
No, but the idea is that the Marvel Universe starts breaking through into our universe in 1985. Thank you. It was originally supposed to be done in the Fumetti style, so taking actual photographs and then superimposing the speech bubbles on it. That turned out to cost millions and millions of dollars as they went on, and they couldn't finish the series. So they ended up doing it with regular comic book art like this. So what do you guys think? Did it pan out?
I think so. I didn't know about the costing $1 million thing before. I wonder if I reading that I might have been like, oh, this is kind of a jib. But I feel like it's a cool story. I feel like as a kid, you know, it's like you have a hard time separating worlds a little bit.
This is obviously a very emotional show.
Yeah.
But it's a great, you know, to see you know, superheroes and villains through a kid's eye, and what would you do? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm happy they didn't go with the photo art. I think that would have looked kind of weird.
I disagree. Wow. I think the whole idea of it breaking through into the real world, you know, has been kind of done before. I feel like I've seen that a lot with fictional worlds breaking through into the real world, thing like that.
Digimon Season 3.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Digimon.
That's cool, but everything I've been saying all day.
Sorry, Digimon. In college, we used to do a Digimon drinking game where we had to drink every
what
time they said.
What did you go to? Was your college called preschool?
Yeah, preschool for adults. It was in a brewery.
Wow.
We would drink on Digi and Monsters. Because every time they would do the same sequence, where it's Digimon, Digital Monsters, Digimon are the champions.
Yeah, you must have gotten drunk.
Yeah, it was a way to get drunk fast. And with cartoons on.
So, as I was saying about 1985, it feels like...
I think we're talking about a different subject.
it just doesn't feel like anything particularly special the way it is. I'm fine with the art. I'm fine with the writing. If it was the photograph art, at least it would feel like, oh, wow, these Marvel superheroes are in the real world. That looks like nothing I've ever seen before. As opposed to, oh, wow, this looks like another comic book. To me.
Well, it is another comic book. But I think it's got to be about the story. Otherwise, like the photos, like it still would look...
No, it's got to be about the cool photos.
Yeah. I mean, you can watch the movie, and then you can see the Marvel characters in the real world.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like if you watch
you
a movie...
You pause it and write on the screen, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll do that after the show, and that's it for the stack!
Yeah!
It's time for my favorite section, because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions, and for that we're going to bring up Booth Man!
Booth Man!
Hey, guys.
Hey, Booth Man.
How's it going?
All right.
Okay.
Love your casual chit-chat.
I'm trying it out. What is it?
He's trying not to look at your penis. Shh.
Did you just put your penis to bed?
There's something weird going on. Number one. Okay, will we begin to see more ethnic diversity in comics as we move towards more interesting comics?
So we're moving towards more interesting comics.
That sounds racist.
I guess generally.
Racist,
yeah.
Against interesting comics.
No, I feel like what the question is trying to say is hopefully with the development of comic books and moving forward in time that we will get more ethnicity, because right now it's kind of...
So as long as we keep moving forward in time, everything is...
I'm trying to help.
Good thing we're not on the
lost side. I think we're moving forward at, you know, when we're at a point when it doesn't have the person's race in front of their superhero character.
Yeah.
Like Black Panther, for instance.
Yeah.
When he's just the Panther, I think he made a breakthrough.
Or Mexican Captain America.
Yeah. Captain Mexico.
I didn't make him up.
Yeah. Mexican Captain America is a great... not Captain Mexico.
No, I mean, what do you guys think about this? Do you feel like we are seeing more racial diversity in comic books nowadays?
I think it's starting. I don't think we're at enough. Like I feel like it's slowly kind of like, you know, building there. I mean, Blue Beetle is a good example of a little diversity.
It's definitely more talked about. I mean, how many years ago where they were like, look, it's the new Asian Dr. Light.
Right.
And it was like, get it? Asian. That wasn't that long ago, so.
Well, I don't know. On the independent end, we're seeing a lot more comics from other countries are coming through, you know. Persepolis was, you know, has been one of the biggest books in the last couple of years. One Big person's read it. They bought 10 million copies.
Needs a bigger apartment.
Yeah, I feel like indie is an example of kind of what's good in comics. Like, it's, you know, it's a little bit better as far as, like, diversity-wise and what the stories are, whereas, like, Main Street Comics is still kind of staunch and kind of, like, picture-perfect people and too many white people and stuff like that.
Well, do you think it's, I mean, it probably comes down to people determining what they want to write as opposed to a corporation determining what they want to write,
yeah.
Right?
Ooh.
It's a matter of getting more voices in there. I think that's really important.
Right, and
the
definitely
the explosion is a huge part in opening up the spectrum.
And yeah. Just the age of the people. Indie comics are mostly done by younger people, while a lot of the people doing the more mainstream books are older. And I think as the generation shifts in, it's going to open it up to much more diversity.
Right.
Because, you know, the old people still making the comics were the ones that were making Asian Doctor Light.
Old people are racist. Next.
Then we can all agree on that.
True. Okay, how much of the characters / plot is based on people you really know?
Well, I assume that's for you.
I do a comic called Teen Boat. It's a
You don't turn into a boat? You don't have the powers of a boat? Or what is the tagline?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like the excitement of... Oh, no, it's like the problems of a teen and the excitement of a boat.
The angst of
a boat. Oh, the angst of being
the angst of being a teen, the thrill of being a boat.
That is awesome.
It's absolutely true.
Well, but that being said, please, let me destroy your joke.
How many boats have you been in? Let's just get down to that. That's what this is about.
I mean, is there, when you're putting together your work, how much do you draw on your personal experience versus obvious? For your book, how much do you draw on your personal experience?
A fair amount. I'd say it's like a rude person who didn't turn their cell
phone. That could be in a comic.
Put that in your next comic.
Think about it.
But it's like, it's not like literal things that happened to me. It's like, you know, it's, the characters aren't, like, it's not autobiographical. It's just, like, maybe some things, like, have happened to people I know, and I put them in, you know? Like, it's not really literally true.
Okay.
But some things have happened.
Why is it not, are you, kind of afraid of exposing certain things, putting names?
No, because autobio would be totally boring. If it was, like, my life story.
Except for your wedding. I mean, other than
that. Wedding. But there's no Batman weddings in my brain here. Yet.
Oh, still one more to go.
Yeah. And you know, it's not a good comic unless it ends with a wedding.
Yeah, true.
Very Shakespearean.
And then you pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Next question.
The next question is, what is your favorite word and why?
Why?
this is very inside the actor's studio.
Any language or just English?
Nice.
Any word.
Pamplemousse.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Wait, what was that?
Pineapple.
Pamplemousse.
French.
Pamplemousse.
Why is it your favorite word?
It sounds awesome.
That's
just
very good.
Say
reason.
It.
Pamplemousse.
Do you feel more awesome?
Yes. We actually watched a show. I believe it was a Canadian television show like Sesame Street. In French class with Monsieur Pamplemousse, who was a pineapple who taught you French.
Wow.
Which somehow seems more ridiculous than Sesame Street, but it's not. Dave, what about you? Favorite word and why?
I'm going to pass.
Nice.
We can come back to you.
Brian?
What was it? Pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse.
That's a tough answer to follow.
That word.
That's the same word.
Pickle.
Capitalized.
What about anti-disestablishmentarianism?
Nice.
Great. Pickle.
Mine is Anne Frankenstein now.
Punishment.
Well, aside from the obvious stuff, I'm going to have to.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Drool.
No. I would have to say, when I went and saw Indiana Jones, and they did the preview for Kung Fu Panda, and they showed that one clip, and then he gives him the big bell and goes, it was like, skadoosh.
Yeah,
I've been saying that like all week long, so I kind of like that word.
Nice.
They Jack Black that.
Yeah. Hard to use that. No, but I know some people filtered in late, so are there any other questions maybe?
Now open forum, guys. Let's get into it.
It's like a real life message board.
Yeah, no.
It's great.
Give us your opinions on each of us.
Who wants to be first? Just yeah. Somebody say first. Nobody reads the internet.
Nice.
Cool, that's it for your audience. You guys are lovely. All right, let's move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
And it's super intense. First thing we are going to talk about, there's been a lot of news this week about Terminator 4, a.k.a. Terminator Salvation, The Future Begins. Is the full title. It's directed by McG, of course.
Of course!
The Charlie's Angels series. Christian Bale is going to star in it as John Connor. It's going to be a series of three movies, and Bryce Dallas Howard has just been cast as Kate Connor.
Alright, so wait. Arnie or no Arnie?
No Arnie.
I'm out.
You're out.
If there's no Arnold Schwarzenegger,
Batman.
What's the point?
That's fair. There's no point anyway.
I only care about Sarah Connor. I don't care about anyone else.
I mean, the show is it tying to the TV show.
Nope.
It's its own thing.
No. This TV show is doing its own thing. The movies are doing their own thing as well.
Really? It's unrelated? Totally.
Totally unrelated.
Are there robots?
There's no robots.
Are there Terminators?
It doesn't take place
Terminator.
In the future.
No, it's a bedroom comedy.
There's a lot of slamming doors.
Yeah, it's gonna be a farce. There's farce.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking Noises Off. What are we talking about? Okay. They should do a sequel of Noises Off. Yeah. Right?
Noises Off Salvation.
Yeah. Future Begins. That'd be awesome. I don't know. It seems like they're just like, what franchise can we do another one of? Anyone. Yeah. Doesn't matter. As long as someone else knows the word Terminator, we'll come see it. And so it's like, this is...
It seems kind of unnecessary to me. I like the Terminator movies. I think they're really well done. In particular, the second one is great. Really enjoyable action movie. But the third one was just... I actually liked it. I thought it was a fun summer action movie. It's enjoyable. But the TV show is so boring. I watch it every week. But it's so boring. It just seems unnecessary to me to make a fourth movie.
Well, especially when everything seems so tied up.
Yeah,
what's gonna happen?
They're not just making a fourth; they're making a fourth and fifth
and sixth.
Wow,
no way!
That's bold. That's bold.
They need to come up with a lot of different Terminator things to do.
they're gonna terminate some stuff, and then there's gonna be another robot, and that's gonna terminate some stuff.
Yeah,
spoiler. All right, let's move on. Talk about another fourth movie, Spider-Man 4. There's been some talk about this. They're actually writing a script that's going to be both Spider-Man 4 and 5. There are also rumors that Tobey Maguire was not going to be in it until Sony said, no, Tobey Maguire is the only Spider-Man for us.
Oh, has
that
been darling?
Rumor every subsequent sequel?
Yeah.
Was it supposed to be Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, it's supposed to be Jake Gyllenhaal, but he's doing Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, so he's too busy. Looking
forward. Wait for the Super Pitfall movie.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Or Frogger.
I think it's great. More Spider-Man. Why not?
Well,
why
did you see the last one?
Nah, it wasn't great. They're writing a new script. It's not going to be that again. If anything, there won't be any singing and dancing in this.
You don't know. I mean, the last
one.
Did you
see Spider-Man 3? What did you think of it?
I didn't think it was as bad as my friends seemed to think it was. I enjoyed the stuff that was pretty ridiculous about it, like emo Peter Parker. I thought that was hilarious. But I think Tobey Maguire is getting like really old. Like, if you look at his face, like, he looks like he's becoming, like, this creepy, weird guy. And it's like, so, like, now when he gets upset, it's like, you're like, ugh. Like, kind of, like, a little scary.
I feel like he's very stressed out. Like, he wants someone who's kind of fun-loving, and he's, like, his skin's all pushed into his face or something.
Yeah, his hairline's moving.
Hey, guys, let's not pick on
him. He's turning into a spider.
Right?
Oh, man.
It's tough to put on the mask all the time, all right, guys? Let's not.
How do you know?
I don't.
You know, I've never seen you in the same room as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And see, I wish it was tough to put on the mask, because I feel like they take the mask off too much. Like, you're watching the movie, it's like every excuse to take off the Spider-Man mask, it's...
Yeah,
pretty much, it gets on fire, and he's like, oh,
rips down. Yeah. Even in the second one...
I'm nervous, because I feel like the third one was just a bad example of blockbuster, like, we'll just put more villains in it, yeah, but...
We'll give him a dance sequence. It'll be awesome. It'll be great.
Hollywood executive.
You don't think somebody was like, we'll give him a dance sequence?
Yeah.
It's like a vaudeville producer.
I mean, granted, I thought it was pretty awesome. I agree with you.
Horrible. I think since they're doing two at a time, they're going to have to space it out, so maybe it won't seem so packed in.
Maybe they'll just have the same amount of action, but talk slower.
Oh, it'd be great if you talk really slow.
Mary Jane.
I just hope that Doc Connors gets a little bit more. That'd
yeah.
Be cool.
Yeah. That would make sense yeah, that he was the villain. All right, Sinister Six. What if it's a Sinister Six?
What if?
All right, let's move on and talk about some more movies about superheroes. We are going to talk about the Green Arrow movie and also the Green Lantern movie. Now, for those of you who don't know about the Green Arrow movie, it was originally a script called Supermax. And the idea,
it's
weird. About
it's
a guy
weird.
Named Max that had power. It's not true. What it's actually about is Green Arrow gets framed for murder and sent to a maximum security penitentiary for supervillains, and has his arrows taken away, has his head goatee shaved. And
what?
I know.
They don't really do that in prison, do they?
But that's personal.
Oh, man.
Well, you better keep running
so
from the law.
After today, Joe. He has to break his way out to prove his innocence. Now, as of
that
today,
was Tango and Cash.
Yeah, Tango and Cash is the only prison break movie in history.
Thank you.
Another Tango and Cash.
I don't
cash
even know
reference.
If it was a prison break.
It's definitely not.
Tango and Cash, Love of the Dog?
What?
No.
Turner Hooch, you.
Oh, man.
That was a dork trap. I just caught you in a dork trap. Okay, so now it's called Green Arrow, so it's the same plot.
I think we're all caught in a dork trap right about
now. What do you guys think? Interested to see a Green Arrow movie where he gets sent to prison and never shoots an arrow?
I'm now interested to see a Green Arrow movie, which I really wasn't before you started describing.
Well, they're setting up as their big DC's big movie of 2009. That's so it's
which is surprising. I would think Green Lantern would be the big.
Well, the thing about Green Lantern is the script is being written by Greg Berlanti, who, of course, created Brothers and Sisters, and Jack and Bobby, and a couple of other shows.
That you
of course,
probably
you
don't
know,
watch.
Big superhero shows.
Yeah. Jack and Bobby, really great show.
And either one of them could have been president.
If only they had the right ring. Yeah.
Wow.
That's the person. Would you be looking forward to a big-budget Green Lantern movie?
Yes! I think that's very exciting.
I think
no.
Lantern's an easier sell to mainstream America. Like, Green Arrow is Robin Hood. So, I don't know how they're going to, like, explain that.
In prison. They kind of finally caught him.
Like, there's no way to make that cool. Like, the superhero movies are always trying to make them look cool. Like, they get them all the leather costumes and stuff.
Robin Hood's kind
of
cool.
Did like, you see Prince of Thieves? Because that was cool. Am
I
right?
Like Prince of Thieves.
But,
yeah,
but,
thank you.
I don't know.
That's not...
But Robin Hood in prison, it's a different kind of movie though. I'm seeing it in my head.
Green Lantern, however, sold magic ring. Though I was talking about Green Lantern with someone, they were like, "Wait, the color yellow? Explain this." And I just got laughed at. All up and down.
Yeah.
Laughed.
Yeah, but he's scared of the color. Okay.
they're gonna have to have the yellow thing in the movie.
Why?
I think they will.
Yeah, you have to have it.
You got it.
It would be great.
Too many villains in that bunch.
It would be hilarious if Green Lantern had to fight Banana Man. That would be awesome.
It is Banana Man.
I don't know, but that's it for the week. Yeah! Alright, we're going to the next section, which is trivia. And for that, we turn it over to Mr. Polite.
Polite. Wow.
Thank you.
Polite.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so this is the part of the show where we give back to you, the audience. We give one lucky audience member a chance to win 25 free dollars to Midtown Comics. That's right. Who would like 25 free dollars? Oh, wow, a lot of hands. Oh, man. I saw this one first, and maybe it was because it was in front of me. I feel bad. You're wearing a Punisher shirt, though, but I'm like, ah! All right. I got a number behind my back. 1 to 3.
Go for it.
Aw. No.
Oh,
don't
wow.
give up. Don't give up. What's your number? 1 to 3.
It's mine.
Pick a number!
Three. What do you got?
Two.
You guys saw it. It was two the whole time.
It was two the whole time.
Wearing the Punisher shirt made him the winner. Let's
all right.
Honest.
All right. Huh. Well, today's trivia is about Banana Man. I wish.
Wow. No one could get this.
No, today's trivia is about Final Crisis, and I feel like I should do it because I know so much about it. Here we go. Question number one. Oh, how it's going to work, first off, is I'm going to read you the question. You're going to hear all three answers. Pick the one you think is right.
Okay.
Here we go. And there's three questions. Three. Final Crisis has been said to be A, the death of the multiverse, B, the final saga of the multiverse, or C, the overuse of the word crisis takes away from its definition. So it's either A, the death of the multiverse, or B, the final saga of the multiverse.
The final saga of the multiverse.
Oh, it's 1-1! 1-1. Here we go.
I think the hardest part was getting the number two right.
Writer Grant Morrison said, "The last crisis will be the A, Lord of the Rings of the DC Universe, B, Matrix of the DC Universe, or C, Pippi Longstocking of the DC Universe." So it's either A, Lord of the Rings, B, Matrix. And we all know it's not going to be Pippi. Although it might be. Who knows?
You don't know.
It's A. Yeah, it's correct. That's right. Grant Morrison actually said that this will be the Lord of the Rings of the DC Universe.
What's that mean?
There's going to... Yeah, thanks. It's about a ring, and then there's struggle, and it's evil. I don't even need to read it. All right, here we go. When someone says to you, "Final Crisis," do you think A, "Countdown Rock, man, I can't get enough crises"? B, "Seriously, this better be the last crises ever"? Or C, "Grant has to save the day. I've put up with way too many crappy comics for this to suck too. Save me, Grant Morrison. Save me."
Wow. These are all kind of personal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all, yeah,
I'm going to go with C.
Hey, there you go. That's a choice. There you go. $25 for you.
That's a choice.
Yeah. Of your opinion-based fact.
I've done a lot of research.
Yeah,
sure. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow? Pete, we'll start with you.
I'm nervously awaiting Trinity. I'm hoping it's going to be great.
Wow. Weird. You hate DC.
No, that's not true.
All
right. I love that. I'm a Wonder Woman.
Superman?
Man.
We'll see. Criminal 2, number 3. Great and well-done crime series.
Manhunter, number 31. Love the series. Definitely pick up the trades this Wednesday. They read right into the book. It's returning after a very, very long hiatus. Great book.
Based on fan reaction.
Yes, based on fan reaction. It's back, and it's totally worth it. If you like Starman, like Justin does, you will like Manhunter.
Oh, wow. Is this Martian Manhunter?
No, it's Kate Spencer. She's, well... It's tough because they changed
based
the
based on a Hall & Oates song.
What?
The Hall & Oates song you sang.
Yeah. Watch it.
That's the sequel to Sarah Smile.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you like Hall & Oates?
Man Eater.
Uh-oh.
She's a man eater. Sorry.
Yeah. Cool.
No, she's a rich girl.
Well, honestly, I haven't found anything that like I legitimately like. There's some like really funny titles like AG Super Erotic Anthology number 82.
There's
81
nothing
before it. That's
we know.
What's the other one? Where'd it go? It was really funny.
Well, there's Dog Witch.
There's Dog Witch Moods Wings. There's Goat Sucker. Yeah. Goat Sucker. Volume 1.
Dog Witch is about a dog that's a sandwich. That's a good read.
No, it's about a dog that's a witch.
Read it on your lunch break. I read the book.
Goatsucker is a very good anthology about different ethnic stereotypes, and now we have to battle them.
That's you need to change.
what's something you have coming out?
Well, oh, me? Oh.
Yeah.
Not on that list.
No, I'm like, why is that on here? My Brain Hurts number 9 is debuting at the Mocha Art Festival this weekend, so I'm
going to
have
a... Where can people find you? What, is there a table number?
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, my table number is A64.
Okay.
But again, I have the big, bright pink...
And you'll be selling acid.
So.
And I'm selling acid. So.
There'll be a line.
Yeah.
Stable.
You'll see the little baggies on the floor. They're empty, like, all around my table. And you'll be like...
I was just going to laugh at that, guys.
You'll really love my hot pink zebra tablecloth, because you'll be like...
Yeah.
Helen Keller.
I know,
Dave, what kind of drugs are you going to have this weekend? actually, plug what you have.
Please be mad.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Coming up, I've got a story in Flight 5, which will be up for Comic-Con. That will be up for Mocha.
Nice.
But I have a story in, some friends of mine did a Star Wars tribute comic anthology. It's got like an indie comic with stories ripping off Star Wars called Harps Is When I Need You the Most. That's going to be at Mocha Saturday.
Cool. Nice. And where can people find you at Mocha?
I have a table called the Comics Bakery with me and my friend John Green, who does Teen Boat with me.
Awesome.
And my wife Raina, who does the Babysitter's Club, and Mary Vitus, who does a comic called No In Between.
Awesome. There's a big bakery backdrop.
There's a big bakery, and we'll actually, usually we have scones if you
That's my drug of choice, man. Brian, what about you? Plug some stuff.
I still have my website. Been paying my bills. Has it gone down? It's the dailycrosshatch.com.
And you're going to be backstage until the next time you're on.
Oh,
nice.
Sleeping. Until you invite me back on.
Well, what are you doing any special Mocha coverage going around?
Walk around.
Cool. Good.
Cool.
Good move.
Just like one of you.
Hey. We're all the same.
What's the website address?
It's thedailycrosshatch.com.
Nice.
Can I just say real fast that you guys really should check out the Mocha Art Fest, though.
Yeah.
We've kind of joked around it, but it actually really is an awesome show with lots of awesome artists, and it's a great time, and it's only $5 per person. And trust me, it's super cool.
Yeah,
it's very cool.
Yeah, it's great. We're big fans.
Yay.
And even, it's not just mini comics. It's all sorts of comics.
There's something for everyone.
There's something for everybody. And there's all sorts of artists. And
I am very interested in Final Crisis. Is there something for
yes,
you?
Yes. Grant Morrison will be there.
Oh, wow.
Really?
In your face.
In your face.
Oh, well. All right, so check that out this weekend and go see these guys. Couple little plugs before we leave you. Next week, we are going to have Cecil Castellucci returning to the show.
Nice.
She is the writer of The Plain Janes from Minx, the line from DC Comics. Also, you can check us out 3 times a week at pulpsecret.com, PULPsecret.com, where we have a show there. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Liz for being on the show.
Yeah!
Thank John and Jerry, good town. But most of all, we'd like to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you.
Anybody would like a free copy of Teen Boat?
Yes.
Here on the table.
Good to meet you. Good to meet you. Good work. Thank you.